Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, let's bring in Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome. It's great to have you back.
As always, it's great to be here. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day.
So let's depress the passengers and talk about Steelers football.
Oh, they make it fun, don't they? It's a very different reaction, I think, this Tuesday compared to last week. And the real nightmare, as it turns out, was, surprise, surprise, the quarterback position again, because the Steelers are facing unknown in that position again, which I think over the last four games, more and more, we kind of got away from it a little bit. It was sort of weird. It was like we emerged from our caves. We saw our shadow and saw the world out there and thought, hey, maybe this is something livable. Maybe this is something that we can do. Yeah. Kenny Pickett attempted, one pass, and he ran twice, and he was done, and that was it. And then our favorite nightmare, Mitch Trubisky, walks back on the field and proceeds to chuck it to as many white jerseys as he could find. And you're looking at basically the end of the Steelers season in a game that amazingly was very winnable, despite it being maybe the worst one possession loss they've had in a while, I think. Anyway, I mean, it's just a really poor game on both sides. The quality of that game was not something I think we're going to be talking about years from now.
No, in fact, my understanding is there was nobody in Canton that wanted the tape, so they don't want to see it. Obviously, we're not at practice, so nobody can tell. Is there any particular reason why that Mason Rudolph, just for the heck of it, doesn't get some run?
Personally, you have to weigh that question. You just have to. At this point in the season, it's illogical to act as if Trubisky to this point has done enough that he's absolutely earned that spot. Now, I'm not saying that Rudolph should.
Right, no. I'm just asking.
It's absolutely fair to say, should we go with Rudolph at this point? And the reason I say this, and I don't know how much time of years I've wasted over the months in outrage over much of the decision-making that Trubisky has shown us on the field, but the three interceptions he threw, the first two, as I can speak very, very accurately to this, as a bad high school quarterback, there are some things you simply cannot do. And one of them is you can't lock on the receiver running a drag route when the defense is in zone. You gave them two of the easiest interceptions they'll ever have. And frankly, I'm not going to be as polite as Steven Sims was, as many other people were. It doesn't matter the depth of the route of the receiver. He didn't look anywhere else. He knew that's where he was going with the ball. And so did Roquan Smith, and so did Patrick Queen. So it two very poor decisions that you simply can't have. And both times that happens in the red zone. And then the deep pass of Trubisky wanting to be aggressive down the field. I'm not faulting him for being aggressive this time, because it's absolutely what he did not do in his first starting stint. It's good that he's aggressive, but being accurate is important as well. Being smart is important as well. That pass was nowhere near Deontay Johnson. It was right in line with the free safety who read the play the entire way. Nothing about that is let off the hook by I was just being aggressive. It was third and long. You're probably not quite in field goal range. You probably can't set that up. If you want to take a shot, I get it. But that thing needs to be at the back pylon then, if that's the case, or it needs to be in the crowd, because there's no way Deontay Johnson is open. Right. There is simply no way you could have thought that looking at the play. The free safety was 12 yards away from it before he even threw, and he's looking at the same guy that you are the entire time. We can get into a bunch of things that cost the Steelers the game. I'm not going to say it was entirely Trubisky, but as we have seen, because oddly enough, he was replaced by a quarterback who came in and threw three interceptions earlier this year. When the Steelers turn the ball over, they lose. They are not nearly good enough offensively, and they won't last defensively, which is what happened in this game. They gave up chunk plays on the ground. They lost situationally, especially down the stretch, and that's where the Ravens stood out. And really, the last 2 years, you look at the Ravens team, they're flawed in so many ways, except they win situationally. And that's why it just always seems like they're this terrible 9-4 team. It's the third seed in the AFC. Right. It's because they are able to win games like this. Oddly enough, the Steelers had just gotten the better of them four times in a row prior to this, which is still amazes me how that even happened. I didn't like their chances in this game a whole lot. The Steelers had an ample opportunity to win this game playing as poorly as they did. It doesn't speak well for either team, but you went up against a backup and a third stringer, and both of them were clearly better than the quarterback the Steelers had on the field for most of this game.
Yeah, normally I always tell everybody, no matter what, whether it's weather conditions or where the game is played, if you have defense and a running game, it keeps you competitive in that. It seems like they've got enough defense. The running game is such a mixed bag for them that these quarterbacks desperately need a running game, Neil.
They need a running game, and the running game needs them. It's a symbiotic relationship. And that's what we've seen. And when you have a team that doesn't produce explosive plays, they're bad explosively. When you don't do that, you have to have kind of everything in line. You have to have everything coordinated. I felt they did a good job of that the last couple weeks, but everything hangs on above board play from your quarterback when you're not hitting on big plays. You can't make up for turnovers. And certainly when you just continue to make turnovers, you're going to continue to have problems winning games. And that's what the Steelers season has been to this point. At the same time, though, we have to make note that it's probably not a good situation when your team can't turn the ball over at all if you're going to win the game. A defense that had 5 takeaways in week 1 and have had 12 in the next 12 games, playmaking is an issue on both sides of the ball here. It's not just the offense. The run game piece of it's working when they're able to get downhill, when they're able to move chains, and they're extending drives. At the same time, to be fair, I said this before the game, and it stands out to me. If you want to be, in the modern era at least, the post-Steel Curtain era, if you want to be a legendary Steelers running back or at least one of high acclaim, you need to run for 100 yards against the Ravens.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing to do.
Yep.
Very few. Jerome Bettis did it once. Le'Veon Bell did it once. I think Willie Parker, if he did do it, it was only one time. It's tough sledding to run against that team. There's no doubt. I don't think the Steelers got a poor performance out of the ground game overall, as hard fought as it was. I thought they coordinated things well. Could have done better, like you can say every game. You don't run the ball well against them anyway. But when your quarterback it kills momentum on 3 of your drives, 2 of which were points, taking points off the board and losing by 2 points, you're not going to be successful in a game. I felt it was just kind of your black and blue division type of game. They had their opportunities to get a little bit more out of the ground game, but when you turn it over that much, you're just not going to do well at anything. And that's where the Steelers landed in this. Really had the opportunity to do it, and I haven't even ripped the run defense yet. You know, this is really just, they shouldn't have been 2 points down. You know, they're minus 3 in takeaways. And they're 2 points down in the game. It's just bizarre to me. That was such a strange game.
Very strange. When you have a small margin for error, and the Steelers have a small margin for error, several different elements do come into play. One of them is decisions made coaching-wise. Now, and believe me, you can have a team well prepared. You can make all the great decisions you want, and like that one that doesn't quite go right and it kills you. I mean, so that means you can coach a great game, but the margin of error is so small it can kill you. Overall, how have you felt about the Steelers' coaching decisions, especially considering they're dealing with a small margin of error?
I'm not against it. I don't think I thought they were in a position to have won this game. And to me, it comes down to, maybe it's just best personified. Ravens ball first and 10. they need a first down to kill out the clock. The Steelers need a three and out to burn some timeouts to have any prayer of getting the ball back for a game-winning field goal. The Steelers were in a completely run defensive package with their personnel and with their alignment, and the Ravens ran for 6 yards on them like they weren't even there. That's not coaching, okay? They put exactly what they should have put out against what they could have expected. Nobody in the stadium thought they were going to throw the ball. Baltimore was going to run on first down. There was absolutely no doubt. And the Steelers got moved back like they were on skates up front. The linebackers did not competitively pursue the play. They gained 6 yards like it was nothing. It's second and four. The clock is, you can call time out there, but they need 4 yards on two downs. A team that's running for, with their competitive players, something like 6 yards a pop, not going to struggle for 4 yards, no matter what you do. And you should have theoretically just given them your best.
Right.
The down was even for you. You should have been able to capitalize and at least cut that off at a yard. Hopefully no gain. Burn the timeout to get to the money down. Steelers weren't even able to compete for the money down at a critical junction in the game. Everyone's going to blame coaching. I don't feel that that game was coaching in particular.
Right.
I have said from the offseason up until now, this team is not nearly as talented as people think that it
That's
is.
That's right. Right.
So for them, I said 7-10. That's optimistically. And that was, I prefaced this for this very reason. I said 7-10 if TJ Watt is healthy the whole season. If he's not, they're going to be a lot worse. And the fact that they will not be a lot worse with TJ Watt, maybe reasonably around what we'd expect from him for one quarter of the season at the end here. It's pretty impressive. It's not going to make anybody happy, and I get that, but they've got some work they need to do for sure. There are still some issues. And if this team that is lackluster in their skill position with a mediocre at best offensive line, if they have to go to their backup quarterback, they're going to struggle.
Yeah.
it's as simple as that.
Finally, they've got Carolina in the game at 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Steelers are 3-0 against the NFC South. They are 2-8 against everybody else. Your thoughts?
It's really the NFC South, isn't it? That speaks well to them. Oddly enough, I think the Panthers are the team within the NFC South you don't want to play in Week 15.
I agree.
They're playing pretty good football.
I agree.
Steve Wilks, I think, is doing a pretty phenomenal job of getting those guys together. They fired their coach. They traded away all of their talent. There was locker room strife and controversy. There were a lot of reasons Carolina should be a lot worse than 5-8 right now. The fact that they're not really speaks well to you brought up coaching. Doing an excellent job, Steve Wilson, mm-hmm.
Yes.
In my opinion. That's not a team Pittsburgh wants to face with Mitch Trubisky on the road. Okay.
Yeah.
Steelers fans won't like that. We're still used to the idea that Carolina is one of the worst teams in the league. They're not. They're playing competitive football. I watched a bit of them this morning. This is going to be tough. I where I sit right now, I might give it to Carolina. I think it'll be competitive. But they have a lot more symmetry going for them. I don't know if they can maintain it. Very similar to the mini hot streak that the Steelers got on. They look more like a competitive team. Like they're showing some flashes of mediocrity here and there. And if they're playing at this higher level from where they were, they're not going to be easy to beat. And I don't know what Steelers team you're going to get, because as of now, we don't know which quarterback is going to be on the field,
right,
or if the quarterback they have on the field is going to be able to process everything at a fast enough rate that they're going to be able to produce something. Pittsburgh should be able to win this game, but Carolina is just playing better football right now than what we saw from Pittsburgh last week, and Pittsburgh has the key injury of the game. So I don't know. You know, it seems kind of odd to me if this is the team that officially ends Mike Tomlin's non-losing season streak for the path that Carolina has taken to have gotten to their point and extend their own, very slim chance of not having a losing season. it'd be a really odd way for it to end, but something that it wouldn't surprise me for this season for the Steelers.
My friend, always great. Appreciate it so much. Look forward to talking to you next week. And again, great work again at SI.com.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.